And I said, no, I haven't. And she's like, you need to read it. And I said to her, well, I'm not a reader, so, you know, don't need to, thanks very much. Anyway, Ruth didn't take that as an answer. And next thing, she turned up with the book and said to me with this book, here, you've got to read this. I want to know what you think. So I put it on my bedside table and there it sat. And I'm thinking, not really sure how I'm going to get round not reading this book, but it can just sit there for a while. God then spoke to me and said to me, how about you clean up just a few things in your house? Now, I haven't got a messy house at all, but there's always stuff in our lives, right, that God wants to deal with, and stuff that he doesn't want lying around. And my eyes went straight to the book. And I thought, well, I've either got to get rid of that back into Ruth's hands or I've got to read it. So I guess I should start reading it. So I started reading it, and to be honest, the first few pages I was thinking, I don't really know how I'm going to get into this, because I just found some of the writing a little bit difficult because it was a lot of conversation. And then I put my little bookmark in, and then the second night I started reading, and would you know it, I think probably the second or the third night, I started going to bed earlier so that I could read Redeeming Love. And do you know, I actually woke up on Saturday morning and got Redeeming Love to read the rest of the book, because I couldn't stay awake the night before to finish the story. But honestly, I was going through that book and thinking, oh, come on. There was this part of me that just wanted to skip the pages. And I wanted to go through all the pain of the story. So for those that don't know the story, I'm not going to share the whole story with you, but it's the story of Hosea, really. It's based on the story of Hosea and him marrying a prostitute. And, you know, it's a fiction story, so it's based on that, but there's all these characters in the book, and as you go through the characters, you actually start to identify with the pain of every single one of them and the story that they have and how their stories actually intertwine with each other's stories. They're not separate stories. Their story actually is making a difference to the other person's story and the next person's story and the next person's story. And something else that God has been speaking is just about spending time with him. You know, a scripture actually that's been very precious to me has been Mary and Martha. And it's in Luke, actually, I didn't write the scripture down. I think it's 5:39-42, could be wrong, but something around there. And I got given this scripture a number of years ago when I went to start my discipleship training school at Youth with a Mission. And I got given this on a night, which was a night where the guys were honouring the girls. And the scripture was put in front of me. And I remember getting really annoyed that night. We were all being sort of romanced by the guys and honoured by the guys. And I remember I got home or back to my dorm room that night and I was just annoyed. I kind of wanted to go back to the life that I had at the law firm. It was all looked a bit too hard to move in the direction that I felt like God wanted me to move in. But I knew he wanted me there. And I remember having to get out of my bunk bed that night. I was in this room with 24 other girls. Had to get out of my bunk room, go down the hallway, and I remember just saying to God, what's this stupid scripture about anyway? And he said to me, Morag, you're Martha, and I want you to be a Mary. And, you know, God has spoken that to me time and time again. And it's not that he wants me to be one or the other. He actually wants me to be both. He wants me to sit at his feet, but he also wants me to get out and do the things that he's asking me to do. And just to finish that story, at the end of my discipleship training school, I got given a card with that very same scripture that said, you are Mary. And so God keeps reminding me of that. So really, the basis of this tonight was just that I was being shown a page again in a journal that I've written in, I don't know, a number of years ago, or maybe just over time, I got taken back to a page of one of my journals. And so I'm going to share what I felt God wanted me to share from that journal, which was five different points on five different scriptures. Because God has stuff in every single scripture, in every single moment with us, that he wants us to use in our everyday life. So not that I'm going to go into a whole lot of theology. I'm just going to share the scripture and the simple line that God has given me for each one. What has he spoken to me personally? So we're ready to go on a journey? Yeah. Okay, so I'd say these are my five revelations from page 3 of my book. So there's a story in 2 Kings, and it's under 2 Kings 5, chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. But before we get to that scripture, it's about Naaman, and he was a commander of the army of the king of Aram, and he had leprosy. And he had heard that there was a prophet in Israel that could heal him. And the story goes on to say, but his servants came near and said to him, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and he came and stood before him and said, behold, I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So the man of God refused. But the story goes on in 2 Kings 19. After Naaman had travelled some distance, and I just want to say this, I don't know how to say some of these names, okay? So I'm going to make them up as I go. How do I say that? Can you help me out, Stu? The servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, my master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, by not accepting from him what he bought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. And basically, this servant goes out, and he runs after him and he says, you know, we actually do need some stuff from you. We need some supplies. So the servant gets the supplies and he comes back to the house as if nothing's happened. But Elisha, this is in verse 26, said to him, was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes or olive groves and vineyards or flocks and herds or male and female slaves? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and your descendants forever. And then the servant went from Elisha's presence, and his skin was leprous, and it became as white as snow. It was a long part of a story, but from that, God said so clearly to me, no payment. Don't expect payment, Morag. Don't expect payment or return for the things that I ask you to do. I want stuff to come back and point to me. I want the things that you do to be glorifying me. It's not about glorifying myself. I've done something for you. Now I will accept something in return. God doesn't expect payment from us, and we are released and set free, and he wants us to do the same. Are you receiving payment or physical reward where you should be giving freely? It's what he said to me. Are you receiving that? So we'll go on to the second story. 2 Samuel 6, 16 to 23. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And further on in verse 20 it says, and David returned to bless his household, but Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel honoured himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, and I will celebrate before the Lord. But I will make myself yet more incontemptible than this, and I will be abased in your eyes by the female servants of whom you have spoken. By them I shall be held in honour. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. Attitude. How's our heart attitude? A heart attitude can create life or death. How's my heart attitude? Am I creating life or am I creating death? By the words that I'm saying, by the things that I'm doing, is my heart attitude, my attitude, am I creating life or death? Now remember, these are things that God has spoken to me, but I believe that he wants us to be asking these same questions. In the story of 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 to 5, after this, the king of the Amorites died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his place. And David said, I will deal loyally with Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father dealt loyally with me. So David sent by his servants to console him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the Ammonites, but the princes of the Ammonites said to Hanun, their lord, do you think because David has sent comforters to you that he is honouring your father? Has not David sent his servants to you to search the city and to spy it out and overthrow it? So Hanun took David's servants and shaved off half the beard of each and cut off their garments in the middle at their hips and sent them away. When it was told to David, he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, remain at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return. You know, the story then goes and it takes a turn for the worst. The Ammonites saw that they had become a stench to David, so they hired an army. And in turn, then David hired an army. And it resulted in thousands of deaths. In fact, over 40,000 deaths. Motives. Do you really know the motives of people? Or are you jumping to conclusions? There's a terrible, terrible outcome for jumping to the wrong conclusions. Have you come to some incorrect conclusions of people's motives? Next story, 2 Kings 6, 3 to 7. Then one of them said, won't you please come with your servants? I will, Elisha replied. And he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh no, my lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. The man of God asked, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Back. Do you need to go back to the place where you heard? Do you need to go back where you lost your cutting edge? And do you need to find that cutting edge again? Going back to the place where you lost, back to the place, the last word that God spoke, back to the place to get the clarity and get back the cutting edge. Do I need to go back? Now we go on to the fifth story, 2 Kings 6, 8 to 18. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place because the Armenians are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord, the king," said one of his officers, "but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He's in Dothan." Then he sent his horses and chariots and a strong force there, and they went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had said. Open your spiritual eyes. See who is on your side. Do you need to open your spiritual eyes to see who is on your side? I need to be reminded of that so often. And this is now where I need you guys to be part of this story. Because hopefully, one of those words has actually made a difference or has struck a chord with you. And I just need one person per 5 points. So I just need 5 people. Who feels like no payment is something that they could come up and stand and hold the sign for? Is there anybody that feels like God has spoken to them? Don't take payment. You don't need to receive anything. Is there someone that feels that, or someone that's brave enough to come up and stand and hold this for me? Thanks, Ron. Okay. Attitude. Who feels that attitude has spoken to them? A hard attitude. Is there anyone that would be either feeling like God's spoken to you about it or willing to come and hold up the sign? Okay. Motive. Who feels like motive is something that God's spoken to them or happy to come and hold up a sign? Back. Who needs to go back to find their cutting edge? Thank you. And who needs to open their spiritual eyes? Awesome. Now, can anybody see that this is making up a word? I'll give you a word that I looked up. I've said them in order. So maybe if you go into the order that you came up here.
Those two need to go down that end.
So you've got a Nambo?
Nambo.
So you know what God said to me? He said, look up the meaning of Nambo. So I did. The opposite of Rambo. It's under the Urban Dictionary, I kid you not. Second one in, second suggestion of the Urban Dictionary. Rambo is the tough guy. Nambo is the modern day weakling. Not just physically, but emotionally. Relying on the system and on everyone else. Always whinging and never happy. Incapable of creating his own happiness. Derived from combining namby-pamby and Rambo. The word is spelt with a capital N and a capital O at each end, the amb in the middle being another mummy's boy. So, has anyone discovered that if I put up two more letters that we might spell something? So, can we all say this out loud? This letter here. Now say that again. Part of Nambor's solution. You are part of the story. And every single person has a part to play. And you know, God spoke this to me as I was taking the turn off to Nambor the other day. And he said, I want you to build an acronym. The first 5 points from page 3 of your diary. And I was like, well, that doesn't spell Nambor. And he said to me, exactly, because you are part of the solution. So thank you. So remember that with our stories. You know, so often we can look at our story, and the truth is, our stories are never complete, and our stories can be seriously frustrating, and they can be really long and seem to go round and round and round in circles, just like Redeeming Love and that book for me. But yet God wants us to be part of the solution. And he wants us to take our part in the story. And where that story took a turn is when the main character of that story then went away for herself and started to seek God for herself. And every single day, God has got something that he wants to say to you. And he wants to speak to you in every situation. And he wants you to be part of the story. And, you know, we can easily disqualify ourselves. We can easily say, I can't do it, or I won't do it. You know, I went to another church just a few weeks ago. I was helping them out. We're sharing them going out onto the street to share their faith, inviting people back to the church to listen to the guy that I'd brought up from Sydney. And he had an amazing story. And I honestly, honest truth, sat in the back of that church and thought, oh, this is such a good story. There's a few people that need to hear this. And then something in my mind went back to the way I used to think. And that was, he tells a really good story. People need to listen to him. And yet I've left myself out of the picture. Stop leaving yourself out of the picture. I need to speak this to myself all the time. I continually do it. My thought pattern will go back and it will say, someone else can do that. But you are part of the story and part of the solution. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you call each of us to a part. that every single one of us is important. Every single one of us needs to play part of the story that you have us in. And it's like a puzzle that if we miss ourselves out of putting ourselves in the puzzle, in the mix, that we then have a puzzle with a missing piece. And I ask you, Father, tonight, that you would gather us together. Father, where there are missing pieces, where we have been part of the missing piece, where I say to myself, like, I've done this myself, where I've excluded myself and taken myself out of the picture. Father, where there's anybody here that's done the same, I ask, would this be the night where the stake gets put in the ground, where the puzzle piece gets put back in, and where they become part of the story? In your precious name, amen.
So good, Morag, thank you. That's great. I love that. Don't be a Nambo. Don't be a Nambo. Nambo, you are a part of a solution. Yeah, that's great. I'm going to remember that. That's awesome. Hey, bless you guys. Have a wonderful week. And yeah, be part of the solution. Hey, and keep praying for Nambo. Thanks, Morag. Cheers.